Will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts and minds of your faithful people. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, good morning, Christ Church Anglican Savannah. It's so good to be back with you, to see all of you, and to be reconnected to folks that I've known for years, and also to be meeting new friends. Excited for this day. You have an amazing group to be received in. We had church yesterday as they began to share testimonies of what God has been doing in their lives and the way he's using Christ Church Anglican to be a redemptive experience of church for these, your brothers and sisters. So be excited with them and pray for them and pray for me as we enter into this reception time. I think most of them are going to be received, not confirmed. But nonetheless, we're excited about what the Lord is doing in their lives and glad to share this day with you. I'm also excited about all the work that's being done, not to mention the wonderful ramp that's out back. Thank you so much for that. That made the bishop's wife feel extremely welcomed. So thank you for that, and we love you guys, and just what a joy to be with you. We've had great food. We've heard from your leaders. Got to talk with your pastors a little bit. You're so blessed. You know this, to have Father Craig, Father Brian, these wonderful deacons that serve in this parish. You truly are led by godly leaders, and I know you're thankful for them. So let's just give them a round of applause. You're truly, truly blessed people. You've got an amazing choir master and so much to give thanks to God for, how he has provided for you, brought you out of the wilderness into the promised land. Amen. I bring you greetings from St. Francis at Point Clear, Alabama. I always have to remind myself it's Point Clear and not Clear Point. This is the eastern shore of Mobile Bay, one of our congregations there. I bring you greetings from them. Will you receive their greetings? And can I pass your greetings on to Christ Church, Wakulla, Florida, south of Tallahassee? All these names, I have to learn all these names. It's crazy. But may I carry your greetings on to Christ Church, Wakulla? Thank you. I will pass them on to you. So one of the joys is to get to, as the bishop, to get to connect the congregations and help you, remind you that you are connected to a whole body throughout southern Alabama, southern Georgia, as well as the state of Florida, and by the grace of God, more so in the state of Mississippi, as we seek to live out God's call for us in this place. It's unique for me. The rule when you're a rector is that you don't preach on Trinity Sunday. You find an associate to preach on, or maybe someone who's seeking ordination to preach on it, or some lowly seminarian someplace. But the last thing you want to do is preach on Trinity Sunday for fear that you may say something that's heretical and get run out of the church. So you can imagine my surprise to learn that as bishop, guess what? I get to preach on Trinity Sunday. One more surprise to being a bishop, but in truth, it is a joy to be with you on this Trinity Sunday. Thank you for giving up time from your Memorial Day weekend and being here in church. God will bless you for your willingness to give sacrificial of your time and delay whatever Memorial Day weekend plans you have this day. So I think that the Trinity is just such a revelation of who God is that it's almost beyond expression. We have the Athanasian Creed, which is in the back of our catechism, which is wonderful. It's very lengthy. I won't read it, but I will read you question 38 from our own catechism to be a Christian. It came out a couple of years ago. Who is God? Question 38 answers, God is one divine being, eternally existing in three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Trinity. And the reality is that we're not simply trying to explain the Trinity in a way that we can understand, which, of course, we can't fully ever understand the Trinity. We accept God as He's revealed Himself. We enjoy Him as He's revealed Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I think no better place in Scripture to find the Trinity than at the baptism of Jesus. Mark records it in chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, when he says that Jesus went into the River Jordan to be baptized by John. He submitted to baptism, and the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. And then from heaven, there was a declaration from the Father, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And right there in those couple of verses, you know, Mark is always so very, very crisp and short in his descriptions, we see the work of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This revelation of who God is and His fullness, His unity, His triunity of being is meant to bring not just simply knowledge to us, but worship. A response of worship that we might know God. The more we know God, the more worthy we recognize He is of worship. Amen? This morning, I want to think with you for a couple of minutes about worship, because it all revolves around God's revelation of Himself. Without God revealing Himself, we would be left to our own devices to try to grasp what God is. But God has revealed Himself through His living Word and through His life-giving Spirit that we talked about last week on the day of Pentecost. In our lectionary, you've got two characters, two people who represent, in the Old Testament, Moses, and then in the New Testament, Nicodemus. And I don't know if you ever thought about comparing those two, but in a way, they are similar in the fact that both of them we're given in this particular narrative. We're giving their immediate encounter with God as He chooses to reveal Himself. Now, of course, Moses is early in the book of Exodus. Moses will get to know God much, much better. Moses will become known as a friend of God. But here in Exodus chapter 3, we have this first encounter of Moses with God through the burning bush. Nicodemus, likewise, is drawn to Jesus to find out who He is, to learn about Him. And Jesus chooses to reveal Himself to Nicodemus, even before Nicodemus responds by faith, showing him exactly who He is and how the work of God is going to be accomplished through Him. I want to suggest to you this morning that our worship has three important components. First of all, in addition to that revelation, which is essential to worshiping God, the first is that we are called to worship. Second, that we should expect a response. And third, that worship leads always to a commissioning. Well, first of all, the proceeding by a call to worship. Moses in Exodus 3 is drawn to this burning bush. I'm adventuresome, Enneagram 7. I would have probably gone over to check out the burning bush too. But we're told as Moses goes to the burning bush, all of a sudden God begins to speak out of the bush to him and says, "Moses, take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground." There's that call to worship, call to reverence, call to acknowledge God in His presence, to take the focus off of himself and on to God Almighty, who is revealing Himself, who is about to reveal Himself. This morning, as we entered into worship, there was a call to worship. There was something that centered your attention. You came in with every care of the world, how difficult the traffic was, what you didn't get to eat for breakfast, the fight you had with your whoever rode with you to church, the things you have to do next week, how you hope to spend Memorial Day, all these things that consume our attention. And as you were called to worship, God began to lift your eyes from the horizontal to the vertical as you began to consider God in His holiness. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Wow. The call to worship comes. Nicodemus likewise hears a call to worship. For Nicodemus, it's the words that Jesus utters to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." In both cases, take off your shoes. "Truly, truly, I say unto you," both cases, there's a call to worship, to remove the attention from ourselves and to focus it upon the Lord, that we might hear him and see him. Now, you and I don't get to see burning bushes. At least I'm not aware of any of your burning bush experiences. You can share them later if you'd like. We don't get to have a verbal conversation with Jesus sitting in the room with us, person to person. But there are ways that God draws our attention to himself. He calls us to worship. Speaking with one of our seminarians last week, a young man named Ryan, he said that the sign, that I said, "Well, how was it that you abandoned your faith, the faith of your childhood, grew up in North Carolina, High Point, North Carolina, grew up in the Church of Christ, completely walked away from that into a very secular life. And God," I said, "how is it, Ryan, that God called you back?" And Ryan began to relay that. "Well," he said, "I had this friend, and to put it plainly, he was the last person on earth you ever thought would have become a devout follower of Jesus." And he said, "when my friend told me that he was now a Christian," he said, "that was my sign to return to the childhood faith I had had and explore the teachings of Jesus and the Christian faith." God uses signs, but ultimately he calls us to worship him, to take our focus off of ourselves and onto him. Well, of course, then we go on to see in both accounts, in Exodus and John 3, we see God begin to do this revelation of himself. For Moses, it's that he is the, he said, "Moses, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And for Nicodemus, it's this beginning to unpack what it means that the gospel means, that there's got to be something that God does in us, that there has to be a spiritual birth, something that the Spirit of God does within us that allows us to actually experience the kingdom of God. It's a revelatory thing for both of them. But there's an expectation of response when we hear who God is, when we understand him as Trinity, as the living God who's called us by his grace, who's given his son upon the cross for our salvation. There's an expectation of response. In our liturgy, once we've heard the word preached and read, we respond with the creed. We stand and we make our confession. We respond by coming forward to take communion, to bow our knee, to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, and to receive what he bountifully wants to give us, his grace imparted to us. It is, if you will, the saying of the Pledge of Allegiance each week. For these who are going to be received, it's to kneel down and come in humility to seek God's blessing, the laying on of hands and the impartation of grace, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do the work that God has called him to be. In every case, there is these are responses. These are ways that we come. And the question is, do we enter into worship with an expectation of response? Now, noted, Moses takes a while to respond. As a matter of fact, if you read on into Exodus chapter 3, from chapter 3 to chapter 4, Moses spends most of chapter 4 griping, complaining, or making excuses for why he can't do what God has called him to do. And yet, the call to respond is yet there. And so it is with Nicodemus, although we don't see what happens to Nicodemus. An Anglican frontier missionary visited one of our churches in Vero Beach, Florida, a few months ago, and the rector related a story to me. He said that the missionary gave this analogy that just is so wonderful, I have to share it with you. He said that oftentimes what we do with God is that we we take our plan, we write out our plans for our life on a piece of paper, and then we slide it across the table to God and we say, God, I want you to sign off on my plans for my life. And this missionary related and said, no, that's not the way it works. God asked us to take the blank sheet of paper, to sign it at the bottom, and then to pass it across to the Lord and say, Lord, you write the plan, and I'll live into it. I've already signed. You've got my blank check, so to speak. Do with my life what you want. And this is the expectation of response that we should enter into worship with. Now, we don't see what happens. We know what happens with Moses. Though he complains, though he makes excuses, eventually he obeys and becomes the leader to take God's people out of Egypt into the promised land. Well, almost to the promised land. But Nicodemus fades away in John 3. He's not heard from, except for a little mention of him later on, midway through the Gospels, where he seems to be, you know, giving some support for Jesus, but very timidly. But then at the end of the gospel, John chapter 19, verse 39, as Joseph of Arimathea is gathering the body of Jesus, said that Joseph has become a follower of Jesus. But Joseph isn't alone. It's Nicodemus that's with him, suggesting that at some point Nicodemus did make that response to the revelation of who God is and is now taken up his commission to serve God in the world. And that's the last thing, that true worship always leads to commission. Not a military commission, but a commission to be sent. I don't know if you noticed it, but at the end of our liturgy, we pray a post-communion prayer. That's not just a formal way to end the service. It's actually the commissioning of you and I as Christians to go into the world. And in that prayer, we say that we are going forth to love and serve the Lord wherever he may send us. John chapter 20, verses 21, Jesus says, he says, just as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. We are called to go forth to those who are Nicodemuses in our life, who need to hear that the Lord, the God of the universe, the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has made himself accessible to us through the death and resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace has been offered to us. Paul will write in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, through him, that is through Jesus, we have access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. And in that, we see this incredible work of God the Trinity accessing himself, giving us grace, offering to us this opportunity to love and serve him in any way he calls us to. This morning, we gather with these who are going to be received. And we've talked yesterday about coming with an expectancy. That as we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to empower you for ministry, that he will answer that prayer. But do all of us come with that expectancy? Do we come rejoicing in the access that we have to God through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit? And do we seek to live out what we see in God the Trinity, the love that is shared mutually, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the mutual submission one to another, the community that they share? Why do we value the church, the community of God? Because God has revealed himself to be a community and has invited us into it. Brothers and sisters, as we come together, as God reveals himself, be reminded that we should come with an expectancy that we will respond and that we'll be commissioned to go out to share this good news. I close with a story of another parish in our diocese, just to put some feet to this idea of being sent out. Jack, man at one of our parishes, and his wife were going out to dinner, just a simple go out to dinner at a restaurant, and as they often did, would say a prayer before they ate their meal. And as they prayed, the young woman from behind the counter began to notice them, and they noticed that she was noticing them, and she eventually came over and said, "Are you Christians?" And they explained, "Yes, we're Christians." And she said, "It's interesting, I'm actually kind of exploring Christianity." And she says, "I noticed you prayed. I'm trying to figure out what prayer is all about." And so they had this little conversation, but the line at the counter was filling up, and so she had to go back. And so it was sort of like a really quick conversation. But the Holy Spirit began to work on Jack. And a week or two later, he had an occasion to go back to that same restaurant, this time with a daughter of his. And as they walked in and began to eat, he noticed that the same young woman was at the counter. And so, not as many people in the restaurant. As he got to the counter, he said, "Hey, I'm a guy. I was praying with my wife. I noticed that you talked a little bit about prayer." And he said, "I wonder, do you have a Bible?" And the young woman said, "Yeah, you know what? I just bought a Bible, and I've started reading it." And so, Jax said, "You know, we have a Bible study at our church. If you'd ever want to come and study the Bible with other people, we'd be happy to have you." That young woman attended that Bible study, and months later was baptized believing the grace of God through the person of Jesus Christ. All because one man and one woman prayed in a restaurant and were bold to respond when the Lord prompted him. Oh, may it be so for us as we seek to not only know God in all of his glory, but respond and go forth to where he sends us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.